You may be seated, and if you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I want to talk to you this morning about the secret principle of the upper room. The secret principle of the upper room. This one message right here can give you the key to everything. What is it in your life that you want to do? What is it in your life that you want to achieve? What are your desires? What are your aspirations? What are your dreams? What have you set a goal to do in life? I promise you, if you can discover this principle and if you will apply it, you will have the key to everything that you desire in life. Now, Jesus, he is speaking to his disciples. He has appeared to his disciples on several occasions. He has given them the Great Commission. Jesus had told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that those who believe and who were baptized, that they will be saved, and that those who believe not shall be damned. I wished all I had was a positive message, but, you know, we have to let people know there's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. If you don't believe and obey God, and if you just go your own way through life, at the end of life's journey, there will be no place for you in the kingdom of God. What I'm preaching today is so important, and what we're studying on Wednesday night on the surviving the storms of life, because storms are coming. I promise you that. Now, Jesus, he is getting ready to return to the Father in the text I'm getting ready to read. But before he leaves, he gives his disciples some specific instructions. Look at Luke 24:49. Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And it came to pass while he blessed them. If you'll go back and read the Sermon on the Mount, you will find the very first place that Jesus blessed people was in that sermon. He began to speak a blessing. And I want you to notice this. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, as he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up to heaven. So the last thing that Jesus did before he departed to go back to the Father was he proclaimed another blessing. That's why I like for us to say, look at your neighbor and tell him, "I am blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed and highly favored of God." We serve the blesser. And you need to get that deep down in your spirit that you are blessed. And you might have lived a life of sin. You may have fallen and failed 1,000 times. But that's okay. Just get back up, because God said, if you'll come to me, if you'll serve me, I have purpose, blessings for your life. So he knows that his disciples are going into a storm, that he's going back. He knows what they're going to face. So he releases this last blessing upon them personally before he goes back to heaven. Look at verse 51. "It came to pass while he blessed them, he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem." Look at this. "With great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. If you want joy, if you want a continual flow of joy, learn to worship God. Learn to praise him. Learn to give him the adoration and the praise that is due his name. There's a lift when we start praising God. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Where's Jesus now? He's seated at the throne in heaven. What does he do? He begins to draw us up and seat us together with him in heavenly places as we praise and as we worship God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about the secret principle of the upper room. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for this special season of the year, Lord. Lord, among all the decorations and all the flowers and the parties and the family gatherings and everything that's going on, help us, God, to keep our focus upon you. Help us, Lord, to realize that, as that sign that I read many years ago, that Jesus is the reason for the season. We love you, Lord. You're the reason for why we live, we move, and have our being in God. And we praise you and worship you. Open our ears. Oh, God, help me preach this. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, Amen. Now, Jesus had already commissioned his disciples to go. But the secret to the upper room is before you go, you must pray. We must soak the promises of God in prayer. The power of the Holy Ghost is activated by prayer. The power to preach is activated by prayer. The power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, it is activated by prayer. Hallelujah. You've got to spend time with God. There must be a time and there must be a place where we pray. And the reason God touched my heart with this principle right here is because I am so busy doing things and helping people and going here and going there and planning this and planning that my prayer life has suffered. And I noticed it and I said, God, forgive me. I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as I'm preaching to you, because people say, you're a man of prayer. And I say, oh God, if I'm a man of prayer, I pity the rest of the people, because I'm here and I'm there and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But I can promise you this, you can constantly have an attitude of prayer. And that's what we have to do in this busy world. And in this busy season, you have got to take time and discipline yourself to read your Bible. Get one of these prayer reading guys. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Amen. We must discipline ourselves to pray. Now, prayer is not just petitioning God. Prayer involves hearing from God. What have you said, God? I'm going through a storm. What can I do, God? You get the word of God on what God has said, and you begin to preach it to yourself. You begin to proclaim it. Most of my sermons I preach to myself before you ever get them. I saturate myself in the promises of God and try to saturate myself and these promises in prayer, because when I pray before I go out, I know if I do that when I go out, he goes out with me. But I got to go in before I go out, and I got to get endued with power from on high. Now, Jesus was a man of prayer, and you know the scripture. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And the degree that we pray, that will determine the degree that you will be used of God. The degree that you pray, it will determine the power and the anointing that you have. And I pray, I say, God, I don't know if you've ever prayed this, but if you're in a leadership position, you need to. I learned to do it when I was in the secular world. I say, God, when I go into that room, I want your spirit to go with me. I want your presence and your anointing to go in before me. I'm only 6 foot tall. I want the spirit of God to permeate the atmosphere. I want them not to see a 6 foot tall man. I want them to see Jesus. Hallelujah. I want them to feel your presence. I want them to feel your anointing. Have you ever gone into a place and people said, I felt God when you walked in? That's what we need, is a church on fire. Fire power that comes out of the world of prayer. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 49 of our text, if you would put Luke 24:49 up there, I want you to notice what Jesus said. Luke 24:49. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise. He's given them a promise. I promise you something. He said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father upon you, and the Holy Ghost is going to rest upon you. And when he comes to rest upon you, you're going to get the anointing of God. See, if you will pray what Jesus is saying, if you will tarry, he said, you will be filled with power from on high. I can get up here and preach, but if he doesn't get up here, all I can do is touch your head. I hear a lot of good sermons, got a lot of good material in it, but there's no oomph. There's no power. There's no anointing to set the captive free. I had a man in Georgia told me, he said, Jerry, he said, one thing I've noticed about you, he said, most of the preachers I listen to, he said, they might hit a vein when they get anointed. He said, but you come out swinging. He said, you just come swinging at the devil, just swinging, swinging, swinging the word of God. He said, and from the moment I hear you start to the end of it, I feel and sense the anointing of God. That, my friend, can only come not because of me, but because of him. Because if you will spend time alone in the secret prayer chamber, it affects those in your family. You can talk to them, and all of a sudden they'll hear the voice of God in your voice. You can meet with people, and they got problems. And when you start talking, he starts talking, because Jesus Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And when you begin to realize who's in you and the power that is in you, how do you unleash that power? You got to ask yourself. You do it through the world of prayer. And after you pray, after you go in, you go out. And that is the secret principle right there of the upper room. Hallelujah. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Ghost, he used terms such as water and fire and wind. So this blessing that he spoke about, it was in its embryonic stage. It had not come yet. The disciples, they weren't even sure of what this blessing was. They didn't fully understand it. And Jesus, he had told him earlier about a well of living water, and how if a man would drink from that water, the water well of salvation, he would never thirst again. And Jesus preached to them about rivers of living water. And the Bible said, this spake he of the Spirit, which they would receive after Jesus was glorified. John the Baptist, he had preached to them and said, I indeed baptize you with baptism unto repentance, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we must continue to grow in faith, and we must stay connected to God, and we must read our Bible, and we must apply all the principles that we find in the Word of God. But I can promise you this. After years of serving God, after being involved in many things, after praying for many, many, many people, leading a lot of people to the Lord, if I don't have Him, if I don't have His anointing, I cannot do anything. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, if I will pray, if I will read the Word, if I will spend time alone with God, if I will go in to that secret prayer chamber before I go out. I will go out with the blessings of God. Do you want your ministry to have power in it? Do you want the program that you're involved in here, whether it's Royal Rangers or whether it's the girls' ministry or whether it's teaching Sunday school or singing or whatever it is, do you want that to have anointing on it? Then you must pray. Do you want to affect people, or you want to just touch their head? I was listening to Brother Jeffries out of Texas, that wonderful preacher that stands on television and talks about Jesus and talks about how righteousness exalts a nation. And I was watching his choir, and they had violins going. They had cellos, and they had trombones and a saxophone, and about 100 people in the choir. And I'm just sitting there soaking in the anointing of God. And I said, God, I can tell one thing. I told my wife, I said, listen to that. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, beautiful music is wonderful. It can touch your head, but I felt the Holy Ghost in what was coming out of that good Baptist church down there. Hallelujah. And I felt my heart just beginning to rejoice as I listened to them sing about my Savior under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Do you want your ministry blessed? Go in before you go out, and I promise you're going to praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will change your world. Now, Jesus preached about the wind of the Spirit and how the Spirit would blow like a wind. And the Spirit is like a wind. He blows where He chooses. You cannot confine the wind of the Holy Ghost. You cannot confine Him to your likes or your dislikes. You cannot confine Him to your little pet doctrines or to some denomination. No. The Holy Ghost is like the wind. He blows wherever He chooses. And He is looking for a consecrated, sanctified, holy vessel to empower with power from on high. Hallelujah. He said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood and some of clay, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the things of dishonor, he said, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. We got people sipping their cocktails and smoking their cigars and smoking their cigarettes, and they're still in Pentecost. Let me tell you something. God will clean you up. I know that. He cleans up a vessel, and if you're going to be endued with power from on high and have the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life, you might speak in tongues, you might have the jerks and the shakes, but let me tell you something. It's holiness unto the Lord. If you want to be endued with power, Paul said, I pray God that you be sanctified holy, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Then his Jews said unto him, that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. Jews said, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Become a vessel of honor. Become sanctified. Become holy. And the Holy Ghost, he is called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He will come and endue you with power from on high if you will pray. And when you're sick in body, he'll begin to quicken that body. Hallelujah. Brother Ray, you know, we were talking before he got up here to sing. He's been going through a storm. But I told him, I said, brother, when you get up there, he's going to get up there. Because I know him. He's a praying man. I knew that the Holy Ghost. I told him, I said, sometimes I get up and I don't feel like preaching. It doesn't have anything to do with how I feel. I just get up, praise God. And after I get up, he gets up, hallelujah, and he begins to move, and he begins to work, and he begins to do what only he can do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These disciples, all they knew that it was going to come to pass, but it hadn't arrived yet. The Holy Ghost, he hadn't arrived, and so they had to birth this thing in prayer, in intercessory prayer. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you haven't, then start birthing this thing in prayer like they did in that upper room. They hadn't received it that time. They had the inner circle of Jesus. They needed power from on high. Amen. And they began to pray. They gathered in that little upper room, and the Bible says they were continually praying, praising, and blessing God and calling upon the name of God. Amen. It didn't just happen in one day or in a few days or in a week. For 10 days, they continued to pray until the baptism of the Holy Ghost hit that little upper room. Now, this is what I want you to understand. They had been given the Great Commission by the Lord Jesus himself. Peter, James, John, Matthew, Andrew, Mary, and all his disciples, anybody and everybody that was somebody in that New Testament church, they were in the upper room. Hallelujah. And what transpired in that upper room is of major significant importance. Amen. They were praying. They were calling on God. These people were all eyewitnesses of what Jesus had done. Let me tell you something. Every one of you that has served the Lord for any season now, you are an eyewitness. Woo, Brother Thomas, you are an eyewitness to what Jesus can do. Yes, Brother Lazaro, you are an eyewitness. Hallelujah. I'm an eyewitness. I'm looking at eyewitnesses to how Jesus Christ can transform a life, how he can take you and translate you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And can write your name in the Lamb's book of life. It's scrolled in red. And thank you, Holy Ghost. I believe it's in red so the devil can look at it some once in a while. Who's in that book? And oh, it's scrolled in red. Oh, devil, you don't have any blood. When you see my name in there, you got to back up. Woo! Hallelujah. You're a spirit devil. You don't have any blood. But Jesus poured out his precious blood. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. All I have to do is call upon that name. I might have an oops, glory to God. But when I say, Father, forgive me, I claim the blood. I claim the blood. I claim the blood. Woo! All of a sudden, all the forces of heaven, they begin to move on my behalf. What brought that on? I prayed. I just prayed right then. Father, Father, Father. He's our Father. Talk to him. Love him. Before you go out, go in. Get endued with power from on high. These people, think about it. They had seen Jesus in his resurrected body. They were at the Mount of Olivet when Jesus disappeared on a cloud of glory and was taken up into heaven. Put Acts 1 and 11 up there. These men heard the angels. I mean, they saw and heard visible signs, audible signs. You men of Galilee, they heard the angels say, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up to heaven. I mean, these men had been taught, these women, they had been with Jesus, amen. They saw him return to the Father. They had a promise that Jesus had given them. And Jesus told them to go into all the world, but he said, before you go out, pray. Hallelujah. Now, you would think that if Jesus had given you a word, that you wouldn't need anything else. I mean, God spoke this to me. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Not necessarily so. When God speaks something to you, when God takes the time to speak to you personally, like he did when you got saved, take the time to talk to God. Take the time to pray. How did you get saved? You heard God and you responded in the world of prayer. You confessed your sins. You believed in your heart Jesus had died. You asked him to come into your heart to flush your sins out, to wash you in his blood. And then you made this confession. I believe in my heart, Lord, and I confess with my mouth that you are my Savior. And when you said that, a transaction took place in the spirit world simply because of prayer. And when you prayed, you met the Master in the world of prayer. This is a wonderful principle that we all need to get. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Brother Philip told me, I told him, I said, I need y'all to help me this morning because I'm going to preach on this. I said, the reason I'm going to preach is because of the time of year and because my prayer life has suffered. And Brother Philip said, I said, Brother Philip, will you pray? He led us in prayer. And before we left that prayer, he said, my toes have already been stepped on. But that's what happens, you know, when we begin to examine ourselves. And we think about the love of God and the treasures and the promises of God and how they're all yes and the amen is spoken by us to bring glory to God. And when you start praying and you take that seed of the word and you plant it and that seed is sown and it begins to grow and then that seed becomes something. Hallelujah. If you need healing, get some healing scriptures and that seed will become healing. Do you need joy? Get some scriptures on joy. Do you need a little book that's got all the promises together? See me. I'll give you one. Hallelujah. I'll invest that in your life. I want you to grow. I want you to understand. I want you to achieve. God wants you to do it. And any preacher worth his salt, that's what he wants for the congregation and for people he ministers to. Hallelujah. Jesus told him to go into all the world. He said, before you go, I want you to pray. Now, Jesus had given them this word, and you would think, well, that's all they need. But he had given them a mandate. He had given them a charge. Really, it was a command. But instead of going out into the whole world, he said, I want you to tarry. He spoke to them again until you're endued with power from my. What has God spoken to you? Well, he's talking to you again this morning. He's speaking again. He said, before you go into all the world, before you go apply for that job, before you apply for that position, before you try to get into that school, before you try to do anything and buy that object or that item that you're looking at buying, before you start a long-term commitment, he said, I want you to go into the private prayer chamber and I want you to pray. I tell you, if we would pray about the decisions we make, we would make a lot fewer mistakes in life. Amen. But he said, I want you to go into the upper room. And they did, and they began to pray. I cannot find in my Bible where they were singing, although I love to sing. I cannot find where they were preaching, and God knows I love to preach. I cannot find where they were doing anything except seeking the face of God. They were continually praising and magnifying the name of God. But here's the principle of the upper room that you must understand. Before we move out, even when God gives you a word, even when God gives you a mandate or a command, before you move out, you must first move in and saturate and soak the promise of God in prayer. I don't care how clear the word is that God gave you. I don't care how strong it is. We must learn to continually, day and night, soak the promises of God in prayer. And here's why. When you pray, here it is. Here's the secret. When you pray, you get an endowment of power to carry out the command that Jesus has given you. Why do I pray? Because I read in my Bible. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. But if I want to be endued with power from on high, I've got to do what Jesus did. I've got to get alone, and I've got to pray. If you want that promise that God has given to you, you must saturate that promise in prayer. Hallelujah. You must pray to get an endowment with power from on high to carry out that command or that promise that Jesus has given to you. And the problem with the church today is we get a word from God and we think that we can go out and make it happen in the flesh. Amen. See, when God gives you a promise, God expects you to pray that through. Amen. Now, I'm talking from experience. God told me I'm going to heal you. God said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory, my salvation. But I realized from prior promises from God that I had to pray them through. I had to pray to get endued with power from on high. See, I need, after Jesus speaks to me, I need to be endued with power from on high. God spoke to Jesus, sent him to this planet. And the Bible says, put Acts 10:38 up there. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. See, Jesus was a man of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God says that I want you to pray this thing through. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. And if you'll pray, I'll send the power. If you will tarry, if you will wait, I will endue you with power from on high. If you'll just talk to me, tell me what you're going to do. Pray this promise through. Get my direction. Get what I have to say. Get a clear vision from me. And guess what? It'll start affecting every aspect of your life. Your little children will be affected. Your marriage will get better. Oh, hallelujah. Be back on the love boat. Amen. I love the love boat myself. I don't like discord. I want to be on the love boat. I tell you what, I make up quick. And I don't mind doing it. I love peace. God gives the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And all I have to do when there's turmoil and things are in disarray, I just get the book out and I just start reading what he said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things have I spoken unto you, that my peace might remain in you. Amen. If I need joy, he said, I've spoken these things that my joy might remain in you. Your joy might be full. If I need to know whether or not I'm living right, and he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I got three of them right there and one promise from God. If all I do is read the word and then pray, I cannot solve the problems of the people I see. But I can pray. And I can get a word. And when I come endued with power from on high. And if I don't pray, guess what I come like? A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I can't help you at all. I can comfort you and say I love you, but I can't bring him is what I'm trying to say. If I'm going to bring him, if you're going to bring him, if you're going to take him to somebody else, you have to have an active prayer life, a devotional prayer life where you read this Bible I want to end this year on a high note by putting a challenge before you. Jesus gave a great challenge. He said, I want you to go in all the world, but before you go out, he said, I'm going to give you a command. I want you to go in, and I want you to get endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. See, they had a command to go preach, but the upper room principle says, before you go out, you must go in and pray. See, prayer is the key to spiritual strength. It's the source of spiritual strength, but it's the key to everything. That's what I want you to see. It is the key to everything. And when you go in and stay in the place of prayer, the power will come because God has called you and God has told you what to do. And God has given you a promise. It was, might be in its embryonic stage, but if you'll pray, guess what? It shall come to fulfillment. Let me give you something right here. I thought about people backsliding. I'm a pastor, and I'm concerned about my own spiritual strength first, but I'm also concerned about yours and your relationship with God and people that I see every day. See, you can backslide praising God. You can backslide singing in the choir. You can backslide singing on a praise team. You can even come to a church with the presence of God like we're enjoying right now and sit on the pew and sing praises unto God and backslide. I'm a praiser. I love to praise God. But I can tell you one thing. Praising God won't keep you from backsliding. It will not. Because I don't believe that. Well, let me take you to heaven. Lucifer. He was in charge of God's choir in heaven. He was over all the worship in heaven. But he backslid right in the middle of all that was going on there in heaven. See, if there's no praise, prayer life, all you have is a praise life. And if all you have is a praise life, you don't have a whole lot. You've got to have a prayer life and a praise life. I wouldn't follow a person around the corner that didn't have a prayer life. I'll be honest with you. Because all they have is a form and a fashion. They are not endued with power from on high. And I'm not saying I'm somebody great. I'm saying he's great. But I know I've got to pray. And I've got to humble myself before the mighty hand of God. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. Wouldn't you like for God, because you humbled yourself and prayed, wouldn't you like for God to give you the answers to the problems of life? Wouldn't you like for God to speak to you and say, don't go this way, but turn and go that way? Amen. Wouldn't you like for God to say, stop, stand still, stand and watch me work? Wouldn't you like for God, in the middle of turmoil and problems that are going on in your family and going on in relationships around you, wouldn't you like for God to say, I'll take care of this? You just stand. You just talk to me. You talk to me and you do what my word says. And if you'll do that, I'll fight your battles. Well, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? Am I preaching Bible right now? Isn't that what the Bible says? God said, having done all to stand, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If a person has a prayer life and a praise life, then they got power behind their life. Amen. See, Jesus knew that it was God's will for him to go to the cross. Thank you for that beautiful song, Brother Ray. It's hard. He couldn't even sing it without the emotions. It's hard for me to preach about the cross without thinking about what he did for me. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. Well, if he did it at the cross, if I pray and go back to the cross and I've got burdens and I've got difficulties and I've got problems that I didn't even cause. If I go pray and go back to the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. I received direction. And now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross, where I met my master in prayer. He washed my sins all away. And every day I can sing with joy in my heart that Jesus Christ is my King. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Sing it with me. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Pastor Ricky, hallelujah. See, Jesus knew he was to go to the cross, but he spent all night in prayer. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says they ministered, fasted, and ministered unto the Lord, and the Holy Ghost spoke. They were praying, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." The Holy Ghost ordained them to go. Then they fasted and they prayed some more, and they laid their hands upon these men. And they were endued with power from on high. The upper room principle says to seek him first and then go and work. Look at what Jesus said, Luke 10, 2. Put that up, please. Luke 10 and 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray. This is the secret to everything. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray first and then go reap the harvest. The first room that is mentioned in the New Testament church is the prayer room. The Bible says Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had a time to pray, and they had a place to pray. Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." But before you go out to face the storms of life, I want you to go in, and I want you to learn the secret and the key to everything. Let us stand.
Now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. I got the key to everything. As y'all come to the altar, I want to encourage you to get a Bible daily reading guide. And I want us to make this altar right here a declaration of faith. That, Lord, beginning this day, I've received the key and the secret to everything. I'm going to enhance my prayer life by reading my Bible and by praying, by building an altar in my home, praying with my family.
At the cross, at the cross,
Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come. Everybody come.
I receive my